So when I was 15, I was on cloud nine around this time of December, because in just 2 weeks, we were going to have the school semi-formal holiday dance. And this was my first holiday dance. And not only did I have the most beautiful black velvet dress with white scarves hanging off the back in real 1990s style, but I had a boyfriend, and I was a sophomore, and he was a senior. And this was my first high school boyfriend, and I was over the moon for him. I just thought he was the living end, and what better way to start my favorite time of year than to go out with him? Well, I was so over the moon with him that I missed some pretty obvious signs. And one night, 2 weeks before the dance, he called me and very politely and very diplomatically told me that he thought our relationship had run its course and that maybe it would be best if we both went to the dance stag. Now, first, he dumped me over the phone, so that sucked. But I also didn't know what to say. You know, I kind of just mumbled to myself and hung up the phone. And then I went into my mother's bedroom. My dad was away on a business trip, and it was really late at night, even on a school night. And I couldn't really keep it in, and I just kind of went in, and I was like, Mom, Ryan dumped me, and I don't know what I'm going to do for the dance. And she was very, very understanding, but, you know, tried to soothe me to sleep and wanted to make sure I could go to school the next morning. The next morning at school wasn't much different, except I just tried to have a stiff upper lip. But I was typically a kind of peppy, cheery person, so most of my teachers noticed the difference. And I'll never forget, this always warms my heart, Mrs. Auerbach, my creative writing teacher. She saw me in class. She saw me in this ashen kind of gray color as I tried to contemplate what was I going to do about this dance, and how was my little broken heart ever going to think that dating could be fun ever again? She took one look at me sitting there, and she asked me what was wrong, and I immediately, not being able to hold in any of the tears, I just sobbed. And she said, "Come here. Jewish mothers understand these things." And she gave me a huge, huge hug. So I went through the day just trying to duck and hide into classrooms, avoiding as many people as possible, and my mom came and picked me up. And she asked me how my day went, and pretty much I kept blubbering. "It was okay, man. I don't know. I didn't really feel so good, but it's all right. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay." So I got home, and my dad traveled a lot. In fact, he had traveled ever since I was a little girl, and he was gone every week. Sometimes he was overseas, sometimes he was just in the country. But ever since I was just knee high, he would bend down so that I would be eye level with him. And he'd say, "You know, I am only a phone call away. And if you need me, I am one plane ride away. No matter where I am in the world, if it's international, I'll be there in 12 hours. But if it's anywhere else, I can be home that same day." Well, what I didn't know was after I came into my mom's bedroom and after I sobbed my little heart out, she'd called my dad, who was in the Caribbean. And at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I come in the front door and there's a fire going in the fireplace and there's a kettle of tea on the stove. And there's my dad. And he opens up his arms and he said, "Tell me all about it, sweetheart." And I just sobbed, and I'm like, "Dad, it's so awful, and I liked him so much. And what am I going to do? Because I have that dress, and you guys want it for me, and it's so much money, but I don't have anybody to go with." Oh, and he goes, "So are you telling me that the guy you wanted to marry just slipped through your hands?" I don't know if I want to marry him. I mean, he's nice, kind of cute, but marry him, I don't know about that. "Okay, so you think there might be someone else in the world out there for you?" "Yeah, maybe. Yeah, okay." "All right, well, what do you want to do about the dance?" he asked me. "I don't know. Everybody's got a date except me. I even can't go with my friend because he has a date. I have no one. He goes, "Well, why don't we try to think about what you could do?" And the first thing he said to me, he said, "If you want, you go get that dress." This beautiful dress that I had hanging on my back door that I'd been staring at for weeks. We had gone to 2 different stores to find it, and it was the most expensive dress my parents had ever bought for me. He said, "If looking at that dress makes you so sad, if it just breaks your little heart, you don't have to go to that dance. Go get the dress. We'll put it on the fire right now." "No! No, 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 we're not burning the dress." "Okay. Do you want to go to the dance?" "Well, yeah, but I don't have a date." "All right, well, let's brainstorm." His first idea was that if I really couldn't get a date, he could fly out my cousin Denny Jim, who is a weightlifter and really cute. But even I knew I couldn't hold my head up high if I had to go to a dance with my cousin. It just wasn't going to happen. So then he said, well, why don't you look for somebody else to go with? Not everybody's got a date. I'm like, Dad, everybody has a date. It's got 2 weeks down. I have no one. He goes, why don't you keep looking? So the next day I went into the school, and my father had even heard about some of the great stories that had been circulating in our high school about a guy on my fencing team who was this really quiet guy, very nice, very smart, and he had been the local hero because he had faced expulsion for helping a smaller, quite nerdy kid avoid getting beat up by two ruffians. So even though he took the expulsion, everybody loved him. This was the last guy I asked, and I must have asked 20 different guys. And you want to have an ego bashing? Ask 20 guys in a row and hear no. And honestly, I was ready to give up. I was ready to give up and just say, I don't know what to do. But finally, this guy, who I hadn't talked to very much, said, Andy, would you want to go to the dance with me? And we can go as friends. I understand if you don't want to be all serious about it. Okay. So my little heart was like, all right, I have a date. And the best thing about it was not just that I had a date, but he happened to be friends with my ex-boyfriend. And I also hadn't really told my ex-boyfriend that I had changed my plans. The funny thing was, too, is that my dad, when he came home, he later told me that his first idea wasn't to go straight home, but to call up some college buddies who kind of liked hanging out in bars and seeing if they could pick fights, and seeing where this guy parked and pulling him out of the car and beating the crap out of him for breaking his little girl's heart. He later told me that it was a really good idea that he didn't do this because I wound up being on amicable terms with this guy, so he thought it'd be really awkward for him to be coming over going, hi, Mr. Keenan, and having been beat up by my dad. So that was good. But when all was said and done, I had a date. We went to the dance. The best thing about the whole night was when my ex-boyfriend came up to me and went, I thought we were going stag. I said, well, that's what you thought. I have a date. So he spent the whole dance alone. I didn't. And the guy that I wound up going with wound up being a much more serious boyfriend and really, you know, my first true high school boyfriend, much more than this guy had been. But what I always remember about that was my dad coming home and dropping everything because he understood that a little teenage girl's heart torn up into pieces needed the comfort and the support that the only man in the world who she could ever depend on could provide at that moment. So he taught me that it's not just living well that's the best revenge, but living well and coming up with a plan to really enjoy the best of a really bad situation. And for that, I've always been thankful. Thank you.